what I where I, when I was ending and we were praying is that this place, the scriptures are too numerous to reference them all. You've been shown by the Holy Ghost and other scriptures supporting the premise that our flesh is enmity against God. He hates it. He wants it submitted to the cross. Pick it up. Follow him. Now, Satan would have you believe, and I guarantee you from counseling even today, Satan got people believing all kind of stuff. And it's amazing that we'll believe him, because everything Satan does to you, you can see. The problem is what God shows you, you can't see. And so you have to do it by faith. That's why he says the just shall live by faith. Everything that Satan's doing in your life, you can see it. If you can get your heart focused, and I'm doing the same thing, folks, but you can get your heart focused on what God has done, that's what faith is. Jesus, the substance. Jesus, the evidence. Okay? That's what faith is. But Satan would have you believe it's impossible, and you can't make it, and there's no way for you to overcome. You know, as long as you and I allow our flesh to dictate, organize, and manipulate us, he's going to be right. We're not going to defeat him. Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the evil one, and lo, Satan comes, but he finds nothing in me. That's where I ended last time. Finds nothing in me. Praise God. That's where we need to go, folks. That man-child is coming. He's going to be looking, but he's not going to find anything. Because that is going to be the believer that believes that, like it's written in 1 John and like Paul states, that you can stop sinning. You get those six or seven sins that have been tormenting you for years and years and years, and you start submitting them to Christ one at a time. Don't try to knock them all off at one time. That's what Satan will have you do. Let's get rid of all this part of your life that you've been doing since you were a child, even if you're just a teenager. You know, 5, 10 years, and you're somebody like me, 67 years old, you've been doing them a long time. You know, you say, well, you know, you're going to try to do them all, and you just die. You've got to let God kill them one at a time, but you've got to give them to him. You've got to swim out there and give them to him. We'll hide in our elder brother, because it says in Psalms, it says in Proverbs 18 and 22, it says, we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and I guarantee you, I can tell you his name. His name is Jesus. You can wrap your arms around him, and he's a brother that's going to stick closer than anything or anybody you know, a wife, a child, a best friend, whatever it is, he's better than all that. We are more than conquerors in God, in Christ Jesus. And yes, greater is he that is in me or he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. I've heard Bill Rose say that and put that in prayers and put that in writing. He's so right, and it's awesome. Moses had to die in the wilderness for 40 years before God used him. Noah stayed in the ark 40 days and 40 nights while it rained on him. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Elijah ran to a cave where he wanted to just have God nuke him over because just killed all those prophets, but Jezebel had him frightened. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. The Hebrew children were thrown in the furnace. And Jesus went to his cross, and he did that because he listened to his Father. So how can we escape? We can't. Then said Jesus to the disciples, Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And there's a whole bunch of scripture. You can listen to the tape because that's where we ended. And the last point, and I'll be done here shortly, is in the midst of the sea and drowning. And if your right arm offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. It's obvious this is a spiritual command, for all of us would be, like I said earlier, blind or our less arms and all those parts. So he wants you to look at you. He wants me to look at me. can get fixed by looking in the mirror, by looking at him, and we can say, just take us out here and drown us, Jesus. You know, 90% of the trouble you and I have gotten into is because we did it. We swam out into deep water thinking we were more than what we were, and the water inundated us and swallowed us in the waves. As a young college student, I worked on a barge in the Gulf of Mexico, Lay Barge 21. We were laying pipe jackets 250 miles out in the Gulf. You get up and you see water, you go to bed and you see water. 19 years old. The hurricane came and they refused to come get us. They thought they had plenty of time. They didn't come to get us. And I was in 20 to 25 foot sea. And folks, if you ever watch that dangerous catch thing and you look at those waves, that's one thing to look at them on your television set. But when you're sitting on a flat boat, when I say flat, a barge is flat. It's 7 deaths below water. 187 men on that thing. And they brought a crew boat out there to come and get us in 20-foot seas, 20 to 25-foot seas. And I told them when I got off, I'd never come back. I never did. And until you look at a wall of water that has power, you don't understand what you're looking at in dangerous catch. And they look at seas 40 feet high, from what I understand. But that's what needs to happen to you and I. You need to go out there and you need to say, okay, then, you know, we've got ourselves in flesh messes and we were drowning. And most of us came to Christ because we were in a ditch and we were going under. We didn't make a deal. He just showed up and been trying to call us, and been a lot easier for us to hear the call. We'd have paid attention. But we went and did it our own way. And Satan brought us out to a drowning position as well, folks. So all these points that I've given, the antithesis of that is that Satan's building an army too, and he wants the same commitment. But the end result is everything he's got, there's no love in it. It's all hate. It's all cold. It's all bad. Jesus is all love. He won't let you drown. Scripture says, blessed is the servant when his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men, servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come on a day when he looks not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? It was 2,000 years ago, folks. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and I am straitened till it be accomplished. He first loved us before we ever thought of loving him. I can remember one of the first scriptures I learned after I got filled with the Holy Ghost is the one I'm fishing to give you in Psalms 34 and 8. Go taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusts in him. That's like that Hebrews 10 scripture, you know, or Hebrews 6, I believe it is. Once you've tasted that, been exposed to his love and word, how can you not love him? How can you turn away? How can we not trust him? And I admit, he's still stretching me. Now, the scripture says he'll enlarge your tent pegs. So he's still enlarging a lot of people's tent pegs. And some people, the moved, they kind of like their comfort zone. It's pretty good to hang out in the comfort zone area. Don't be messing with my comfort zone now. You mean I got to get uncomfortable? Obey him. Drown in him. It's got to be birthed in your heart, folks. It's got to be on your mind, on your tongue. It's got to permeate. You know, we were talking about Christ Church. Andrew Strong had posted that what happened to them, the first earthquake didn't take their church down, protected, and a weaker one came by and knocked the whole thing down. And Andrew was over there trying to get them to praise God and thank God for it, and they wouldn't do it. He couldn't understand it, and it grieved him. It grieved God, folks, because he was a man of God going to give them a word of God about giving God the glory for being protected, and they refused to do it. You know, one, if you put the Lord on your mind and on your heart, your tongue, let him just absorb you, put him on the throne of your spirit, then he becomes Lord. If he doesn't become Lord, folks, we're not going to be able to survive. You know, when Jesus was talking to Peter, when therefore they had done, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? You ever been in your prayer closet and Jesus asked you if you love him? That would break your heart. Not a rhetorical question either. When Jesus asking you if you love him, must mean you must have done something he didn't like. Must mean that something's wrong. You love me more than these? More than what? James and John and Nathaniel and Matthew and Levi and all those dudes that were with him? You love me more than these guys you hanging out with? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Well, that commission just wasn't to Peter. It's to you and I. That's what we're all doing here. We're feeding one another. Say to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, tend my sheep then. Said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, dost thou truly, dearly love me? Peter was grieved, and he said to him a third time, dost thou dearly love me? And he said to him, Lord, I've known all things. And there it is, folks. He knows it all. He knows your heart. He knows your heart right now while I'm talking. He knows my heart. And I hope tonight, when I get done, which is another 5-6 minutes, and when Dave gets done and class is over, that God will take you somewhere and ask you, do you love me? You love me more than all these things you got around you. Your children, your car, your clothes, your jewelry, your guitars, your boat, your homes. You love me more than all that stuff. You love me more than your whatever it is you're doing to go and witness to somebody, no matter what it's going to cost you. You love me that way. What he's asking. Feed lambs. 10 sheep, you went from lambs to sheep, means somebody's growing. That's known all things. You know that I dearly love thee, Jesus said to him. Feed my sheep. That's in John 21, verses 15 through 17. The three words used that Jesus used for love when he was chatting with Peter, he was teaching him that the flesh response to a question from the Holy Ghost don't get it. That's what he's teaching them. You got to push out in the deep water, folks, to get to this. You may already know it, so I hope God amplifies it to you. It enlarges your tent peg, right? Tent peg. Teaching that a flesh response for a love relationship is not going to satisfy anything. It's not going to answer God's question. He Peter could only respond in a flesh manner. Jesus asked him, did he agape him? And Peter said he phileoed him. One's flesh, one's friendly. Phileo, that's of being friendly, of you as a friend. Agape is God's love. The only way you get that is you go hide in Christ. He's the only one that's got that. He's the only one that can give it. But though Peter's life in the Spirit after Pentecost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost asked the same question, his response would have been, yes, Lord, I agape you. You betcha. After he heard that rooster crow three times, he was finished with that phileo business. He was finished with understanding that this is going to cost a lot more than I started. Even though he goes back after Jesus was risen and Jesus went to the cross and Jesus was risen, isn't he went back fishing when they caught the 153 fish. Only time in the Bible where they caught fish where the nets didn't break when Jesus was involved. The nets didn't break, caught big fish. House of Bethesda, which is fishing. He taught Peter, you're going to go feed them. Two different men after the baptism of the Holy Ghost with Peter. You want to push out to the deep? You got to have the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost, folks. You must have the Holy Ghost. The three times that Jesus asked Peter regarding his love for him are defined by strong below. Love in verse 15 and 16 is agape. Peter's response indicates he knew he was not giving him the right answer. However, in verse 17, which is the last verse, Jesus used the word phileo in verse 17, and Peter's response was accepted. You know, Jesus is not going to drag you with a big fish hook in your mouth, even though there are scriptures in there that says that he will. But if you love him and you're trying to let him teach you and expand you and pull you to a level where he can use you, he's going to love you to a point, just like he did Peter with this story. He's going to love you so that he can get you to where he wants you to go. And love covers a multitude of sins, so love will get us there, right? Let us love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. We are dead in the flesh and alive in him. We can do his commandments. We can do the things that he did, and we can be like him. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Proverbs 27:17. If you ever listen to me or let me counsel you, you will probably hear that a lot. Deep calls unto deep, you'll hear that one too. At the noise of thy water spout, you know what a water spout is. All thy ways and thy billows are gone over me. Oh my goodness. Psalms 42:7. And watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. That's Mark 14:38. Yeah, that's it. You start swimming out there, and the devil's going to say, no, you can't make it. You can't go. You better bring some of your friends with you, you know. Abraham brought Lot. We all have some Lots in our life. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, but the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26. Greater love hath no man than this. Matthew 26:41. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John 3:16. That's pretty deep water right there, folks. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. We deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, you don't believe that, then, you know, Jesus is still Jesus. You get it. You know, he remains faithful to what the scripture says. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we suffer, you know, you don't get too much of that preaching anywhere. And if we suffer with him, no, we're not suffering. We all got all the promises of God. I got the faith message, and I got the prosperity message, and I got the healing message, and there ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm never getting sick. I'm never going to be broke. And I'm going to be prosperous, and I can do all things, and I'm going out in the creek out here and walk on the water. No, folks, he cannot deny himself. Okay, so here are the choices. I'm closing. So here are the choices. What then are our choices? Live or die? What'll it be? Now, this is not a mystery. We know the flesh does not want to be obedient, right? Some of you are already hearing that already right now while I'm teaching. It's had thousands of years to be tempered to resist God. And believe me, the demons are still tempering people's flesh to resist God. And praise His name. He's chosen us to show forth His glory. How can we neglect so great a salvation? Don't be deceived. We haven't arrived, but if we do not get started, we're never going to get there. For me personally, I've asked to be swept out with the tide out to the deep. For those that do business in deep sea, in the deep see the deep things of the Lord. Hebrews 2 and 3, I alluded to it earlier. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having received the beginning to be spoken to the Lord was confirmed to us by the ones hearing? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's Philippians 1 and 21. And that's the end of this teaching, folks. If you want to go out in the deep, make a choice. Make it tonight, or make it tomorrow, or make it in your prayer time, or sit down at the table with your wife and your children, or your spouse, and if you have no children, or with your family, if you're not married, your brothers and your sisters, and ask God to take you out. And get dissatisfied with where you are. If you're satisfied where you are, how's He going to work on you? If you just want to sit around, well, I've made it, I'm good, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I speak in tongues every now and then, I just want to be left alone. Folks, you can't make it that way. I'm not saying you can't go to heaven. I'm just saying, you're not going to get the things that Jesus wants you to have. He wants to use you. He deposited a whole bunch of stuff in you so that you can help somebody else. Pray for me. Pray for Dave. Pray for Rory. Pray for Robert and Kevin and Michael. You know, pray for your family. Pray for people you don't even like. Praise God. Father, I thank you that You're going to take us out, Father. The only way we're going to get in deep water is if we ask to go out there, Father. And we want to go, Father. We want You to move us to the point that we can't even begin to think about coming back. And, Father, we know we don't have to be afraid of the waves and the billows and the water spouts that go over us, Father, because You are with us. Father, Your Word says You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. If You won't leave us and You won't forsake us, Father, if God be for us, who can be against us? If Jesus is in us, who can defeat us? All we've got to learn to do is hide. Father, help us to be like, Father, there were 11 men on that boat when Jesus come walking. 11. Father, Peter was the only one that got up on the gunwales and said, okay, if that's You, I want You to call me. Father, the only way we can do things with Christ, Father, is we get out of a boat. We get out of our comfort zone, Father. We get out of what makes us warm and fuzzy. I'm sure it wasn't too warm and fuzzy on Mount Olivet, Father, Gethsemane, Father, when Jesus was praying and sweating blood. I don't guess it was too much fun. Father, because He counted the cost of what it would cost to be separated from You. Father, we need to get a glimpse of that in our soul. We need to get a glimpse of that in our heart. What it costs to be separated from You. Jesus knew. He knew when He shouted from the cross, why have You forsaken Me? He knew that in Gethsemane. That's why He was stressed. If He knows His Father can't look on sin, can't fellowship with sin, can't talk to sin, we've been deceived by the devil, folks, because we sit in some shallow water like Dave said. We've been standing on the seaside thinking that we can go on and live a sinful life. and then turn around and ask Jesus to give us a blessing. Well, I need $10, Jesus. My electric bill needs to be paid. Live like the devil. Oh, I need this, Jesus. My children need healing, Jesus. Shout, leave them from the devil. There were times when he first got born again, he did those kind of things. But folks, he's building an army now. He's building a command. He's building a bunch of stones that are fitly joined together so that they can war the good war, fight the good fight, stand up and be counted. Nothing wrong with being an enlisted person. Not everybody can be generals. The generals can't make it without the enlisted folks. And Jesus don't really need us. He could do it just speaking it from heaven, but he wants us to, he loves us so much, he's given us the opportunity to be like him. The things that I do, you shall do also, and greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. You know, we hear that all the time. You want those things, you got to swim out in deep, deep water. And you got to say, I'm willing for you to just kill me, strip me, take whatever it is in my life. Purge it out. Get some good silver where my testimony is pure. Get some good gold where my heart and spirit are joined to you in holiness, Father. Father, I thank you. I praise you for this opportunity to teach. And I praise you for the opportunity to go out over this internet, Father. And I praise you for the people, Father, that are listening, that are touched. And Father, somehow, some way, commitments are going to be made, that they're not just going to be empty. They're going to be commitments to follow you. And I give you praise and honor and glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm over, brother Dave.
You know, Rex, I was reminded of the dream I had many years ago. I think it's on the site somewhere. That I thought really pointed out the need for the deep waters. In this vision, I saw a dragon searching for Christians. And he found the Christians in a house. And when they found out they were discovered by the dragon, they took out running. And they found a cave, and they hid in the cave. And the dragon found them in the cave. And they took off running again, and they ran to the water, and they got in the edge of the water, and the dragon was searching for them again. And then they got a revelation, and the revelation was that if they didn't push out into the deep waters, that dragon would step on them in the shallow waters. And, well, folks, here's the dragon. He's coming right now. You can see him raising up all around us now, you know, the dragon beast of Revelation 12 is seeking to destroy the woman. And there's only one safe place, and that's out in the deep waters. Amen, the Lord brother. Taught me when I was a young Christian that that what we received by faith at baptism had to be received by manifestation in the baptism that we go through the rest of our lives.
Yes.
Baptism represents the Word of God putting to death the old life.
Amen, brother.
And you know, you got to get under enough water to put the old man to death. You can't just get it up to the neck, you know, to put him to death. You got to get it over his head, especially the head, to put him to death. And, you know, He told Ezekiel to go out into those deep waters, waters to swim in. You know, he also talked about that river had stagnant places in it, you know, that were given up to salt. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are in the stagnant part of the river. They're not in the living waters. You know, the running waters were the living waters in the scripture.
Right.
Sometimes it's translated living and sometimes running, you know. You got to get out in enough of that water, which is the Word of God, to put to death your old man. And the more that you submit to the Word of God, the more Word you obey, the more dead you're going to be. And I tell you what, dead people don't have nothing to worry about from any dragon.
Amen, Dave.
You know? And you can't just obey the amount of words you see your brother in the church obeying or your group obeying. It don't matter whether they're obeying it or not.
That's right.
If you want to be among the first fruits, them to escape the dragon, then you got to go out there and obey it. And, you know, read the word with an eye towards obedience, because when you obey it, it puts to death the old man who doesn't want to obey it. He wants to live.
Right. Right.
He wants to, and he's kicking and screaming and leaving claw marks all the way to the door, and you're trying to throw him out, you know? Well, you got to drown him out. I remember Bob Accardi's vision that where he saw Christians dying in the shallow end of the pool. That don't make sense. Well, it does. It certainly does. You know, it's the deep end where you got to die. You got to get in enough water to put you to death. But Christians are dying the other way. They're dying spiritually because they won't get out there and die to their flesh. You know, you're going to die one way or the other. You're going to die one way or the other. You're either going to die to your flesh or you're going to die to your spirit. Now, you got to make the choice. You know, drag the old flesh out there in the deep, deep water and baptize him. You know, put him under. You know, let that water rise up over his head, especially the head. That's the worst part of you, you know. You know, when I was younger and I was baptizing people, I was making real, real sure every part of that person was going underneath that water. I didn't want to see an elbow sticking out, you know.
I guess I'm not quite as
legalistic about that nowadays, but there's a real good point in that. You know, all of you needs to go underneath the water, like Rex is saying there. It's very clear. We got to get into the deep, deep waters, you know, over the head, waters to swim in, you know. Baptize the old man. Don't let him come up till he's dead, you know.
And, and as long as folks know, Dave, but he's going to struggle. He's going to struggle. He's not going to give up real easy.
That's right.
And if you keep taking him to the deep end, you keep getting out there, you're going to eventually, Jesus is going to give you an aqualung that you can't even imagine, and this other thing's going to die. It's just, the aqualung's the Holy Ghost. I can't emphasize enough, you've got to have the Holy Ghost, Brother Dave. You've got to be that person that reproves us of sin. He's the one that brings us into it. He's the one that shows us our sin. He's the one that tells us about Jesus. He's the one that shows us what it costs. He's the one that does all that. I was thinking while you were talking that it would be great, Brother Dave, if a person really took this teaching, and I mean, I'm not saying it's nothing special, but they took this and they just went and got a piece of paper and said, now let me see. When was I called? You know, you don't have to remember the day, the minute, the second. You know, you ought to remember the year. You ought to remember where you were. And so then you're called. Now, do you remember ever being chosen? Do you remember being adopted? Do you remember making commitments that you were going to allow him to just put some fire on your gold and your silver? You remember making those commitments, and if you haven't made them, you need to make them. And you can't start with trying to kill the greatest thing that's attacking you in your life. You know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. You get enough of these little foxes killed and dead in your life, this big thing's going to topple because it can't exist without the little things. The little things make the big thing. You know, it's just like that's a great dream, Brother Dave, about a dragon. No person really saw a dragon that's trying to set them on fire and kill them and everything. You run in the water and you think, okay, you like the Hebrew children backed up against the Red Sea. So what am I going to do now? And all Jesus is saying, get in the water. Get in the water. Hallelujah, Brother Dave.
Amen. You notice that dragon was chasing them into from a house to a cave. You know, he's going to bring you down now. I mean, if you don't submit, the Lord is going to permit this dragon to bring you down, down, down. Think about that house, comfort, you know,
Yes, sir.
Cave, that's a whole lot more primitive, isn't it? Well, I'm telling you, a lot of Christians are headed towards a primitive thing here. You're not going to like where he's going to have to take you if you're not going to go there willingly, you know. Remember that Moses went out into that wilderness, you know. He went out and met God in the mountain of God. He willingly went out there, and too many of God's people, they won't do it. They would have to be forced out there, with Pharaoh's army behind them to go out into that wilderness. It's a wilderness of death to self. It represents the same thing as baptism does, you see.
Amen.
It represents the same thing about it, is going deep in the water. It's a place where there is no support from humanity. It's a place where there's nothing you can put your eyes and your hands on to save you. You know, it's a place where God is bringing you to a very primitive place to put you to death. And we gotta embrace this death. We really have to love this death. It's the only way to life. You know, we have to love this death and embrace it.
But you see,
go out into the deep waters, over the head, you know.
That's right, brother. But you see, the folks would rather, there's so much sloppy agape going out there and greasy grace that, you know, there's all these supposed prophets that are throughout the land saying, you know, this is coming, that's coming, there's a great deal coming, there's a great revival coming. Yeah, revivals come from great stress. They don't come from ease. And most of the prophets that I'm listening to, I mean, not that I'm paying attention that I'm following, I'm just saying most of the prophets that I hear, you know, they have, man, it's going to be a good old thing, man, the Christians going into prosperity, the world's going down the tube, the Christian's going to go into prosperity, all right, but it's going to be something that he's never been taught like it's been taught. That message is a stagnant pool, just like you said earlier. Those messages that focus on just pieces of God's personality and twist them so that they can get attendance and then get numbers and they can get this warm, fuzzy feeling. Jesus is bringing the church, and you well know it, and you teach it. He's bringing it to a place where there's nothing. It's him, or you're cooked. It's either out in the deep water with him, or you're just finished. I don't think there's going to be a fence walker. I realize in Revelation it says you're neither hot nor cold. I think that's now. I think that's happening now.